My friends, this is Tim Benal with another edition of Benal of America Audio, Season 1. It is November 19th, 2005. This week, Grant Cameron, Part 2 of 2. We pick it up where we left off last week. This is a fascinating discussion this week on disclosure, ufology, the presidents, and we also get into Grant's problems at the border with Homeland Security that happened back in September that made big news in ufology. We discuss all that in this week's edition. For those of you unfamiliar with Grant Cameron who are jumping in here at part two, you should really check out part one for some extensive background stuff, but here is his bio. He's a native Canadian who's been studying the UFO phenomenon for 30 years. He started in 1975 as one of the principal investigators of the Charlie Red Star UFO flap of the mid-70s. From there, his investigations led to the story of Wilbur Smith, head of the Canadian government's UFO investigation, Project Magnet, and ultimately led him to the in-depth investigation that he's working on now of U.S. presidents and their relationship with the UFO secret. He's a highly esteemed researcher in ufology who has lectured throughout North America on the Charlie Red Star flap, Canada's early attempts to study UFOs, disclosure politics, and the presidential UFO connection. His website is www.presidentialufo.com. This interview was conducted on October 31st, 2005. Grant Cameron, Part 2 of 2, on Benal of America Audio, Season 1.
All right, and I was going to ask you, actually kind of touched on it, just that Democrat versus Republican, do you think there's a difference?
Yeah, definitely. I think that the Republicans are more aligned to the military. They have military sort of backing. For example, if you take a look at Bill Clinton, was seen as a draft dodger, he sat at Oxford when the Vietnam War was going on, didn't get into the war, first thing he did when he came in was try to get engaged in the military, upset the Joint Chiefs of Staff to the point that one of the Joint Chiefs of Staff actually sort of pulled rank and basically told him that he disagreed with this and wanted to quit. And so you have a situation where Democrats are usually not anti-military, but not sympathetic to the military. Jimmy Carter, for example, canceled the B-1 bomber. He cut $5 billion from the defense budget. Different things like this. Bill Clinton was not sympathetic to the military. Whereas you get Republicans are always seen to get a lot more votes, a lot more of the high-ranking military people. So it's sort of like Stephen Greer says, and probably true, that they do a psychological profile of the president and they take a look at can they trust the president with this secret.
Yeah.
And if you take a look at Bill Clinton, I mean, if they had to give Bill Clinton a secret, he may have spilled the beans because he basically stood up and said, I wasn't told a secret and I may not be the first president who was kept in probably not the first president that's been kept in the dark. Very dramatic thing for a president to actually come out and admit, because presidents are sworn to secrecy and normally you wouldn't have a president coming out and saying there's a problem inside the government, and I'm going to tell you that there's somebody else running the country. I mean, it's something that they probably are saying, you know, good thing we didn't tell them. The SOB would have told everybody if you really had found out. So it was sort of like, if you can trust the president, you'll tell him. You might have George W., who's done a lot of talking about UFOs, may have been told, but then again, may not even be interested. Couldn't care less.
Yeah.
Some people have been told. We know, for example, George W. Bush. I have a CD that you can get on my website where I have all the audios that have been collected from the various presidents and what they said. And one of the audios we have is George Bush Sr. in 1988 on the campaign trail being asked by Charles Huffer about the UFOs. And he was had just coming off being the CIA director, been fired by Jimmy Carter, and was asked by Charles Huffer, if you become president, will you release the UFO secret? And George Bush Sr. said, yeah, I'll release it, yeah, no problem. And he said, you can send me some stuff. If you got some stuff, send it to me. And Charles Huffer says, what do you mean, send you stuff? You're the CIA, you were CIA director, you know what's going on. And Bush said, and we have this on tape, he said, yeah, I know some of it. Yeah, I know a lot. So here you have Bush actually confirming that he knew what was going on, even though he was a sort of a weak vice president. The only reason he got to be president because he was vice president to a very strong president, President Reagan. He was seen as a very weak person. He was like a sort of a, he was an ambassador to China. He was only CIA director for 1 year. Really had no strong government experience that would indicate that he'd be a strong president. Basically, Reagan pushed it, and he got in and basically got kicked out the first term. But he knew what was going on. The other thing people have to remember when you're talking about a president and whether a president knows, the only time that a president, I think, would be told, and this goes for everything that a president has, a president is a very busy guy. If you've ever seen their schedules, I've spent a lot of time in presidential archives. I've looked at a lot of presidential schedules, and people cannot believe how busy these guys are. I mean, the day starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. It'll end at 10 or 11 o'clock at night. They have like 10 photo ops. They have about 5 meetings. They have this, that. And if things go by minute, they're in this minute, then they go here. They answer a phone call. Then they get another phone call. Then they got a meeting for 5 minutes. Then they get another phone call. And it just goes on like that for like 16, 18 hours a day.
Oh, yeah.
And they have no time to read anything. The way a president is given information, and this covers, I think, a lot of what goes on, is if the president has a certain thing that they have to know about, they're going to push a program or something, they bring a person in, and instead of getting the president to read 2,000 pages of stuff that he hasn't got time to read, they basically bring in a guy and they do briefings. And this is why I say to people, if you ever get a high-ranking official, whether it's a president or vice president, when I talk to Dick Cheney, if you get him, the only question that applies, the only question you should be asking is the briefing question. In your time in government, have you ever been briefed on the subject of UFOs? And if so, when was it and what were you told? And that comes down to the fact that if a president is told the UFO story, he's going to be told the story in a briefing, as he is told everything in a briefing. Instead of seeing the long, convoluted history of UFOs, they're going to bring a guy in if he wants to know the story, and they're going to give him a briefing, and they're going to say to the guy, okay, you got 15 minutes with the president. Here it is. You got to do it one page. You give him a one-page review. The president sits there and he listens to 15 minutes. You tell him the whole story in 15 minutes. Yeah, and the reason they would tell him is either something is going to break. There's a UFO question coming in and from a major reporter or something. It's same as a scandal. A scandal's breaking. They're going to brief the president. The president doesn't know everything. The president doesn't need to know everything. All the president needs to know is what's going to come up in the next news conference. What's the hot item of the day? What are people voting on? He doesn't need to know. There's millions and millions. On my webpage, I have on the Clinton, at the beginning of the Clinton, and I can't remember what it was, but it's something like 17 million pages a year is classified by the government, plus all the stuff that isn't classified. The president has not got time to read millions of pages of documents. So they do it by briefing. So the key on the UFO question is, if you get a guy, and this would happen to Dick Cheney, the story was that Dick Cheney was a guy in the know. Dick Cheney's a very powerful guy, knew the UFO secret. He had been his chief of staff for Ford. In the Ford administration, he'd been Secretary of Defense under Bush Sr. He was the vice president under Bush. And the story was the Republicans knew, so as soon as he got in, he went on a radio talk show in Washington, D.C. on the Diana Reem Show.
Yeah.
I had learned how to get on these talk shows. I was the first person on the line. So Dick Cheney came up, and I asked him the question, and it was the briefing question. And I don't care what you think about UFOs. I don't care if you've ever seen a UFO. I could not care less. All I want to know is one thing, and that's what I said to Dick Cheney. In all your jobs in government, have you ever been briefed on the subject of UFOs? And if so, when was it, and what were you told? And I don't think Dick Cheney had ever faced a UFO question in his life. He was taken off guard. He really stumbled. He made the wrong statement. He said, and this is on tape, you can go to the Diana Reem website, to the archives, and you can actually hear the actual audio tape of him answering the question. He said, if I had been briefed on that subject, it would probably be classified and I wouldn't be talking about it. And I just about fell over because, I mean, the government contention has always been, whether it's Blue Book or whatever stories they put out, there's nothing to this. It's people's imagination. Nothing's going on. So if there's nothing going on, then what's classified? The only time you're going to classify something is if it's for real. And if it's classified, that means there's documents. The government has always maintained there's no documents. We've released all the documents. So if it's classified, there's documents that have been withheld from the people. If the documents have been withheld from the people, there is a cover-up. End of story. And he basically confirmed there's a cover-up. There is a classified aspect to UFOs and that he's not going to talk about it. And by then Diana Rehm asked him a question, and by then he'd sort of got his footing. And the way the government goes is they sort of talk around the subject. So she said, "Mr. Cheney, has the Bush administration done any work on UFOs?" And he said, "Well, there's been no UFO meetings in the White House since I got here," which is probably true.
Yeah.
And so that's how he walked around the question of evading the question of whether the Bush administration is working on it. So that's the basic contention is, if you ever get a high-ranking official, and we did it with Wesley Clark. Wesley Clark came out, this is a very interesting story, he came out, and this is where I sort of see that the UFO community has somewhat stumbled, that a lot of times the UFO community sort of shoots themselves in the head. When Wesley Clark was campaigning, he was a four-star general. It's the highest rank that the U.S. military now gives to generals. The only time you give a five-star is in a major war. There are no five-star generals. There are four-star generals. Wesley Clark is a four-star general. And Wesley Clark wanted to be an astronaut. The only reason he couldn't be an astronaut, he couldn't get in the Air Force because he had glasses. He couldn't get in the Air Force. So he decided he was going to go into the Army, and he ended up becoming a four-star general. So he comes up on the campaign trail, and he's very interested in space, and he's asked a question in the New Hampshire campaign, just when the 2004 election starts. He's campaigning. He's one of the leaders in the Democrats.
Yep, yep.
And he makes a statement in answer to a question by J.A. Buckley, who was one of the shuttle astronauts. And Buckley asks him, "What's your vision of space?" And Wesley Clark goes into this rant about space. "Oh, I've always wondered about space and the interest part of space, and I've always believed that we can go past the speed of light. And I've argued with physicists about it, and they don't believe it, but I believe we can." And I'm going, this is bizarre. My four-star general is actually saying he thinks we can go past the speed of light. So I put this out, and I basically, because I'd gotten that with Cheney, I said, "This guy isn't the president, he's not the vice president, but he's a four-star general. Let's ask him the question and see if he stumbles."
Yeah.
On the, because he was running around to different places in the United States, and he was holding open house.
He was taking
open questions. He would answer any question that people would ask. And when you're on the campaign trail, you're not going to try to evade the question because you want to be the open guy. It's not until you get in government that you start covering stuff up.
Yeah.
So I figured this is the ideal opportunity, and he's running around. And so I started asking people, and, well, first I put it out, and I got from the story of the birds, there's a bunch of guys who are former intelligence-type people who are sort of had some experience with UFOs in the past and didn't get the whole story, and were worked around Bill Moore, and these guys sort of became the birds.
The aviary. Yeah.
And so I've sort of known, I've dealt with all the people indirectly one way or the other, and I've got questions to them, and if they believe my question is legitimate, I may get some sort of indirect answer back. So I put to somebody who has a major contact with the birds, who passes these questions to me, and I said, "Wesley Clark has said this, and what do you think?" And I got back from the guy who passes the question, I got back a simple reply, an email reply, which said, "One of the birds said Clark has been given a briefing on flying saucers." So I went, holy cow. So I started contacting MUFON state directors all over the United States. I would have Wesley Clark schedule exactly where he was going to be. And I would go to state directors and I'd say, "Okay, he's going to be in your city tomorrow. Can you stand up and ask him the briefing question? And this is what I want." And I could not believe it. I had people, state directors, MUFON state directors saying, I don't want to embarrass him. I don't want to ask the question.
Oh, man.
I said, "Well, come on. Wait, what do you mean embarrass him? I mean, what are we going to do here? This is obviously stupid. I mean, we're not going to ask the question. You can't expect him. Ufology always blames the media. The media doesn't go and get to the bottom of the story. Well, if we're not going to ask the question, why would you expect the media to go and do stuff that we don't do ourselves?"
Yeah.
And nobody would ask the question until, and one of the people who had actually first turned me down on the question and said, "Well, he really didn't know anyone who asked the question," was Dr. David Rudiak, who's just outside of Berkeley. Met him, very good friends with him, had done research with him. He's a brilliant, brilliant researcher. Anything you want to know on past UFO stuff, especially out of the 50s, he's got all the newspaper articles. He tracks stuff. He's meticulous about his research. He'll send you 8 pages on anything you want to give you all the background on stuff. So he had first declined to ask the question when Wesley Clark went to Berkeley. But near the end, 2 days before the election ended, Wesley Clark was out of the campaign, but he was campaigning for Kerry. And he was in Nevada. He was in Reno, Nevada, and he was heading for Roswell the very next day because Roswell, New Mexico, was one of the swing states. It was 5 votes or whatever it was, and it was one of the states they didn't know which way it was going to go. So everybody was heading to New Mexico the day before the election. So he was in Reno, and David Rudiak happened to be at the University of Reno, and he was researching there. And he figured, well, okay, I'll go down and watch Wesley Clark. and he knew the briefing questions, so he said, at the end, he decided to ask him a question. So he said, General Clark, I'd like to ask you, in your time in the military, have you ever been briefed on the subject of UFOs, and if so, when was it, and what were you told? And Wesley Clark again stumbled. He said, yeah, I know some of it. He said, in fact, I'm going to Roswell tonight. And Rudy Ack, being smart, because the way it happens is they'll indirectly answer your question. They won't answer the question or answer it with a question and stuff. And he wasn't stupid enough to fall for the Roswell thing and go down that trail. He went back to the original question. He said, so you have been briefed. And then Clark said, well, I know some. We've got a problem with the mathematics, which is a very revealing statement.
Yeah.
Because Ben Rich... Ben Rich ran Skunk Works, and the story of Ben Rich was that Ben Rich, just before he died, he was dying of cancer again, had made a lecture in California in front of a bunch of engineers in which he had said, we now have the technology to take ET home. And one of the engineers who runs the MUFON group for Orange County had realized the significance of the statement, had gone after Ben Rich after he left the lecture out in the parking lot, and basically had talked to him. He said, what do you know? What can you tell me? I'm very interested in this and stuff. And Ben Rich had said, we've discovered the mistake in the equation. So here you have both Ben Rich and Wesley Clark both talking about mathematics. And if you look at Hal Puthoff is a very guy, a smart guy who I respect probably more than anybody in the UFO community, and he's also working on the mathematics. That the UFO thing, that a lot of the hang-up, a lot of what's going on in the inner circles is mathematics. It's not hardware. You may have the hardware, but you need the mathematics to figure it out. So you have these things that if you take a look at different stories, they all link together. And so the Wesley Clark thing is another one that you had a guy, he was caught off guard, he's a guy who was briefed, and you ask him the question, and they will give you a little piece of the story. They won't answer the question. Both him and Cheney didn't directly answer the question, but what they did say spoke volumes about what's actually going on.
All right, so with these, then obviously this campaign is coming up. There's obviously going to be another one in 2008. Do you suggest using that briefing question more than, obviously if you ask them if they're going to disclose, they'll give you some flippant answer. You're not really going to get anywhere with that.
Right, they'll say, yeah, sure.
Now, what if you're, you know, because I'm in Boston, right, so I can be up in New Hampshire all the time because that's okay. Where they hang out. What if it's like a state senator? I mean, what if it's like a senator or a governor who's running for president in 2008? Is there a different phraseology of the question, you think, or is it still briefing?
Okay, it depends who's running. For example, the one that might be open is Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton may be running. In fact, I would say she will be running. She did state in 1992 that there would be a woman president by 2010. I think that she figures she can run. She may stay in for a while, see what happens, but I think she will run. Hillary is in a situation where I'm pretty sure she was cut out of the loop. I'm 100% sure. In fact, there was a bunch of people around the campaign. There was a guy who had worked with the CIA, a UFO researcher, who told me that he was contacted indirectly by Hillary Clinton to get UFO material. Sims, what's his name? The alien hunter. Daryl Sims also claimed that he was contacted by a third party, by a female friend of Hillary Clinton, asking for all the videos that he had, that Bill and Hillary Clinton wanted to see them, and that this woman had taken the videos, and she contacted him back later and said that Bill and Hillary were very interested. So they've gone through secondary people, and Hillary Clinton was very interested. In fact, she may have been more interested. On my website, I have all the different times that Hillary Clinton talked about it. She talked about UFOs a lot. Very interested in the whole thing, was involved in the Rockefeller Initiative, and she's a person that the question would be, and she's the one that you'd have to change the question, and that is because if you're talking to a high military person, for example, somebody who's been a president, a vice president, but there's going to be no, those people will all be out of the loop, like, unless Cheney runs, but I don't think Cheney's going to run. But it has to be somebody who's in the loop. So
someone who would get a briefing.
Yeah, like last time you would have asked George Bush the question, but George Bush won't be running this time, so you can't really use the briefing question. Or if you get a high-ranking military guy running, then you would ask the briefing question. But Hillary Clinton, you'd ask the other question. You'd ask, when you were in the White House, did you ever ask for a UFO briefing, and were you ever involved in the subject, and if so, what were you told? Because I know, we know for a fact, and we can provide, whoever's going to ask the question, we can work on the question, we can provide all the material that will show what the extent of her knowledge was.
Yeah.
What she did, but basically it's to confirm this the Clinton story that they were desperately trying to find out what was going on. So it would be a question like, did you ever ask for a UFO briefing? Did you ever try to find out what was going on? And if so, what were you told? Which again, then gets her to confirm the fact that yes, they did actually try to get to the bottom of the thing, and that they weren't able to get anything.
So it's best to so you should ask a pretty detailed sort of question, or a question that you have an idea of what you want for an answer instead of a nebulous question.
It has to be. It always has to be a question that says, "Did you do this or that?" Rather than an opinion question. You stay away from what's your opinion about UFOs, because they'll all, like Jimmy Carter loves that question. He just absolutely loves it.
And he'll talk about
he'll talk about his UFO sighting and how many people were there and what they saw and how magnificent it was. And he doesn't laugh at people who don't see UFOs, but that really doesn't tell you anything. But the one question that he did stumble, and we've got the video and the audio on this, is these were some guys who were doing Out of the Blue, the documentary, and I knew them, and they had approached him at a book signing thing where they sort of slowed the line down, because Jimmy Carter can sign hundreds of books an hour. It's just tremendous. The line is just moving as he signs. And so what they did is they used a guy in a wheelchair, and they slowed the line down. And so they were able to ask the question, and they asked him the question, you promised that you'd release the UFO information. What did you do when you were in the White House?
Nice. Okay, yeah.
And it was basically, that's the kind of question you want. Especially if it's a former sitting president, you ask them, what did you do about this subject when you were in the White House? To actually get them to spell out details rather than opinions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Carter stumbled, and he said, I can't remember exact words, but there's a lot of different possibilities, but nobody has the answers. Which again leads to the fact that Jimmy Carter tried to get the answer, but was stonewalled the same as Jimmy Carter, or Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
So here you have a situation, and I know I had him on the line twice. I had him on the Diana Reem show twice. The first time, they actually took the question, and it was going to be the briefing question. Because Jimmy Carter will talk about his UFO sighting ad nauseum. He'll talk about how interested he is in UFOs and all this sort of stuff. Who cares? And all I wanted to know is, did you get briefed? Because there was a lot of rumored stories about June of 1977 that he had a briefing, that he forced a briefing. There's a story told by an aide, a former aide of his, and now the guy's denying the story, but that he'd been in the UFO briefing and that Jimmy Carter had been briefed.
Yeah.
So there's always these stories that Jimmy Carter was an A-type executive. He didn't take any crap from anybody, and he didn't care. He was going to fire anybody that denied him, and he forced a briefing. He was cut out, but he forced a briefing, and they gave him some sort of gobbledygook briefing about UFOs and this sort of stuff. And he was shown the Holloman Air Force Base film, the film of the UFOs landing. So basically, to him, I wanted to find out, were you ever been briefed? So the first time they took the question on the line, and Jimmy Carter is very long-winded when he answers questions. So basically, I sat on the line, and they didn't answer my question. The second time, I was more aware of how to get first on the line. I got on the line, and I was the first one to pick up. And I said, I want to ask Jimmy Carter the question, have you ever been briefed? When you were in the White House, you're known as the UFO president. When you were in the White House, were you ever briefed on the subject of UFOs? And if so, when was it, and what were you told? And that's the key point is, when was it? Because I had a friend, the same guy who passes the questions to the birds, who had an intelligence background and was able to actually, on my behalf, talk to two former sitting presidents. And so one of them was Gerald Ford. And Gerald Ford confirmed that he'd seen the Holloman Air Force Base film, that he'd been briefed on UFOs. Even though in public he'll always say that he really tried to get information and wasn't able to get anything, this sort of stuff. But confirmed that he was, and he was asked the question, when was the briefing? And at that point, Gerald Ford says, I'm never going to admit I was briefed, so don't even go there. Because the thing is, if you can get the date, and Jimmy Carter was June the 14th or whatever it was, 1977, if you can actually get the date, then with the Freedom of Information, if you get Jimmy Carter on the record and says, on June 14th, 77, I was briefed on UFOs, then you got an FOA, and there's no way they can then deny it because you can get the briefing. And if you get the briefing will be the truth because they're going to give you disinformation, me disinformation, But the President of the United States is the head of the commander-in-chief of the military. He's the head of the executive branch of the government. He is the chief guy, and that is the best intelligence. All the intelligence people are working for the President of the United States. So the answer to the UFO mystery of what does the U.S. government know will be told to the President in the briefing. Everything else is disinformation. Nobody else has a right to know. Only the President has the right to know. So that's the key thing. And so I went there, and the woman said, well, hang on. And then they go online. You're on the line. You know that, and I can hear Jimmy Carter talking in the background, and I'm online. I'm first up. I know I'm going to ask this question. And then suddenly she comes back about a minute and a half later. She says, I'm sorry, your question is sort of off topic. He's talking about, he'd written a book on the Civil War or something. It's off topic. I'm afraid we can't take the question.
Oh, man.
What I think may have happened is they showed the question to Jimmy Carter, and he shook his head and said, no, he didn't want to take the question.
Yeah.
So they came back and said, well, I'm off topic, and they wouldn't take the question. But eventually I will, and it's a tough thing to do.
Oh,
I remember when I asked the question to the times I was on the line and the time when I one time tried to get a hold of Hillary, and I got on the line there, and the vice president, your stomach is in your throat. I mean, you realize you're about to ask a question that every news media guy for the last 50 years has been afraid to ask. The president of the United States has only faced the UFO question twice. Everybody is dead scared to ask the question. He was asked the question in 1947, two or three days after Roswell occurred. He was asked the wrong question. He was asked about, you know, what about all this UFO stuff or flying saucer stuff in the newspaper, which he was able to walk around. And in 1954, Eisenhower was asked the question in December of 1954. He was asked the question about, oh, there's a bunch of UFO sightings in Europe. What do you think? And he basically walked around and said, a military guy that I respect said there's nothing to it. So here you have a situation where the White House press corps is dead afraid because they worked their whole life to get into the White House press corps, and nobody wants to ask the stupid question. Everybody wants to ask an intelligent question about the implications of economic collapse in Ethiopia or something.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're smart. Deborah Oren. Deborah Oren was a reporter, still works for the New York Post. Deborah Oren hated the Clintons. She was one of the people who pushed the Monica Lewinsky story. She tells a story about in 1997, I believe it was Webster Hubble, writes a book, and in his book he said that Bill Clinton, when he was associate at the Department of Justice, was called in by Clinton. Clinton had given him the job, and Clinton said, I want you to answer two questions for me when you're down there at Justice. I want you to find out who killed JFK, and I want to find out if there are UFOs. And Hubble put this in his book, in his biography, and he released it. The day after it came up, the White House was having a press conference with the White House press secretary, and Deborah Oren, who hated the Clintons and wasn't afraid to ask the question, stood up and said, I want to ask you, did Bill Clinton send Webster Hubble out to find out about UFOs? And the press secretary said, no, we give that job to the alien. And this is a story, it's a long, involved story, but the Weekly World News has always run a story about this alien that predicts. He predicted Bill Clinton would win. He predicted that George Bush would win, George Bush Sr. He predicted that Clinton would win. And they always have this weird story about this alien that's predicting the alien. He's meeting with the president and all this sort of stuff. And this is the alien they're talking about. They said, no, we give that job to the alien. And everybody sort of laughs. And she comes back with a follow-up question. She said, is what Mr. Hubble writes? Yeah, she can't use the same question. So she comes back with another question. Says, is what Mr. Hubble writes in his story, in his book, true? And the press secretary said, I'm not going to comment on what people write in their books. That I'm not going to comment on that. So she was. They were able to avoid this question about, did Bill Clinton give this job to Webster Hubble to go and find out whether UFOs were real, if there was a truth to this? And she said, and this is an interview she did later on, and I found in some obscure book that she was interviewed, and she said, in this interview, she said, I sat there and waited for the rest of the White House press corps to follow up with another question, and they all rolled over and played dead. And that's what the situation, everybody, even ufologists, everybody's afraid to ask the question, to stand up to a very powerful person that you'd like to ask a nice smart question about economy or the war in Iraq or something like that. But everybody, it's like a goofball. They've been able to paint the UFO situation as a goofball issue, and nobody wants to spend their whole life getting into the White House press corps and then ask the stupid UFO question and then have them never call on you again because they figure you're going to ask another stupid question. And that's what they're afraid of. You want to be respected. You want to be called on in the things. So you want to ask questions that won't offend the president too much.
Yeah, so it's like the ridicule factor is keeping the press corps from trying to...
Yeah, but it also plays a fact in ufology where it shouldn't.
Why do you think that is, though?
Well, I think it's basically a lot of researchers are trying, like I did, to try to prove to their friends and relatives that they're not crazy, and yet they realize there's a lot of ridicule, and so you get a lot of researchers who will say, oh, I'm skeptical about UFO sightings. They'll talk, like for example, I'll talk to them in public and in private, they're saying something completely different. You know, they'll talk about things as if this is all for real and it's all going on, and then suddenly they get interviewed by the newspaper and they talk about the fact that 95% or 90% of all UFO sightings are hoaxes, and I believe this, and they start coming across like they're a skeptic, and because skeptics sound like they're evaluating the situation, they're smart, they're, you know, I'm not gullible.
Yeah.
And yet a skeptic is exactly the opposite. Somebody who's gullible will believe everything. A skeptic is somebody who will believe nothing. So you got to be in between and say, I'm not a skeptic, I'm not gullible, and I'm not a skeptic. I'm trying to find out what the truth is, and this is what I think the truth is. And it doesn't make me gullible, it doesn't make me a skeptic. So a lot of people play the sort of the game because they're afraid that if they come across and say, oh, I believe this is all for real, I believe this is going on, and Wilbur Smith is talking to aliens, everybody's going to say, well, this guy's a goofball, he actually believes this garbage, and suddenly you sort of lose your chance to make $1 million at UFOs. You always want to be respected, the guy who's going to be listened to, and you don't want to say anything stupid that you got to take back.
So do you think any politician will ever, any mainstream politician will ever run with a UFO issue in as part of their...
Well, they have, and it hasn't gotten anywhere, which is another reason why government will never release it, because it's not a main issue. Stephen Bassett, who's a good friend of mine, who was a co-author, we were doing a book on the presidents, and was running around New York trying to get the book published in New York, and went through 70 publishers or whatever, and nobody wanted to touch the issue of the presidents and UFOs.
Yeah.
He ran for Congress in Maryland, got 1.5% of the vote, basically spent his whole inheritance, all the money he had left him totally broke, and got 1.5% of the vote. And the whole deal is that I always say the best thing that could happen for ufology is $20 a gallon gas. That the higher the gas goes, the more this issue is going to become an issue that people are going to listen to.
Yeah.
Basically, people are in a situation where they work hard every day, they come home, they got to feed their kids, they got to take their kids to baseball practice, they've got this, they've got that. And UFOs is an interest, and the same thing happens in ufology. It's a hobby, it's an issue, it's not an issue, it's a hobby. And people like this, hear the stories, they, you know, they'll listen to me, and I've got 101 stories, and they just sit there and listen with interest. But to stand up and actually do something about it, it hasn't affected your pocketbook. When it affects your pocketbook, then people are going to stand up, and this thing is going to turn around on a dime. And that's what I'm saying. The higher the gas price goes, the better chance there's going to be disclosure. But as long as gas is $1.90 a gallon, who cares? We'll drill another oil well in Alaska. We'll put another refinery in here. We'll put some pressure on the Arabs. We'll change the daylight saving time to save an hour. And we'll scam people. People are not going to do something. The government does not move on good ideas. That's where I sort of disagreed with Stephen Bassett. Stephen Bassett promotes this as a good idea, and I say it's absolutely a good idea. Yes, we should disclose this, but the problem is that the government has never on any issue disclosed something that never, or not disclosed, but changed their momentum, their thoughts, on our policy based upon something that's a good idea. And in my lectures, I always refer to them all. And you can go through all of history, and it works the same way. Women's right to vote, grand idea, but didn't happen. Women demonstrated, and I got photographs of women at the White House in the thousands demonstrating. War in Vietnam, we now say, bad idea, should never have been there. But for years, we sat there, and the government defended it. It was not until you had 250,000 people on the Washington Mall that the government suddenly said, oh, I think it's a good idea to get out of Vietnam. Then they got out of Vietnam. You take a look at it, and we always say in ufology, oh, the government picks on us. I mean, they're trying to, you know, get rid of us and all this stuff. It's not the case. You really couldn't care less because we're not a threat. We haven't really. If we had a campaign in the 1990s to demonstrate at the White House, we had like 40 people. Big deal. Who cares? I mean, that's not a threat. You take gay rights. It used to be a thing that you would never, as a politician, ever take the side of gay rights. And then suddenly they had, you know, 10,000 or 50,000 gays in Washington on the Washington Mall, and suddenly they went, oh, man, there's a couple votes here. And it all comes down to votes. People will change their position based upon the votes.
So if there's a, there needs to be more of a movement amongst people who want answers.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't get a researcher to ask a question to a top politician just to stand up. You're in this. You're going to the guy's lecture. Stand up and ask a question. No, we can't even do that. And these are the top people in ufology who won't do it. So you have a situation where you have politicians who don't really have to answer the question. It's, if you were to go through the top 200 issues, it wouldn't come in as one of the top 200 issues. And you have to create a need to sell it. You've got to sell the thing. And I remember there was a story that there was a girl by the name of Laura Johnstone, who I knew very well. And I used to, when this first happened, I wrote the articles that described who Laura Johnstone was, and I figured it was a very significant event. And it related to presidential politics. And what happened was George W. Bush, when he was on the campaign trail, had told Charles Tupper, the same guy who asked George Bush Sr. the question about UFOs, had been contacted in Arkansas. He came through, and Tupper always asked the campaign guys the question about the UFO thing, will you disclose? And, of course, George W. Bush said, yeah, well, we'll do that. And Dick Cheney was standing right beside him, and he said, in fact, this is the former Secretary of Defense. He's a good man, and it'll be the first thing he does when he gets in the White House. We're going to disclose UFOs. So Charles Tupper gets all excited. They put the story. We got it on tape. We got the audio tape, the whole bit. It's all for real. And they get in the White House. And, of course, they do absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So a woman by the name of Laura Johnston, who was she'd been in the civil rights movement. She had been spent her whole life getting arrested. She loved it. She outside the White House get arrested and pick various issues that she figured were significant for the world, and she would demonstrate and she would do something. And what happened was, like any of the other issues, she decided that it was time that the UFO community got organized, and she was going to go on a hunger strike. She went on a hunger strike, demanding that George W. Bush answer Charles Tupper's question, that Charles Tupper deserved an answer, that he had promised Charles Tupper the answer, that he was going to disclose what UFOs were all about, and that she was going to go on a hunger strike, and until death, she was going to not eat until the president answered the question. She was on a hunger strike for 42 days, and I remember as this thing wheeled along, and I was with her, and I remember I was on a number of radio talk shows with her all over the place, and she got a lot of radio interviews. Sometimes she was doing 3 or 4 radio interviews a day. It was one of these goofy little stories that everybody likes to run.
Yeah.
But they sort of had her as the kook UFO lady who was on a hunger strike. And meanwhile, Charles Tupper's scared. He figures she's going to die. I was kind of scared. Everybody was scared. And basically, what happened in the UFO community was they basically turned on her. They basically said, this woman's crazy.
Man.
What's she doing? Charles Tupper wandered her off the hunger strike. They said, there's a better way to do this. And she, you can't even imagine how little support she got. She got ridiculed. And so in the end, I phoned her up and I said, you know, I was talking to her, how you doing? She said, I'm off the hunger strike. And I said, what happened? She said, I just determined that if the UFO people don't give a damn, why should I give my life up for this? For people who don't give a damn. And that's what it came down to. The UFO community had a woman who was ready to give her life for this cause, and they did nothing. And I'm telling you, that's the truth. They did nothing for her except ridicule her. And so you have a situation where until we get something, and I think it's got to be something dramatic, I think it'll be high cost of oil, where people just, it's a pocketbook issue where it means something, or enough people like gays, you have enough gays where its votes are at stake, or women's right to vote, or whether it's like a lot of people, we're now into the big ecology thing, and you got Greenpeace. You know, people figure that they got a free ride. They didn't. I mean, you take a look at the history of Greenpeace. It goes back 30 years, and it started with 5 people and 10 people and 20, and it built, and people, you know, gave up careers and did all sorts of stupid things and got arrested and stuff. And we don't have that kind of commitment inside the UFO community. The people who are running it don't believe in it strong enough. They're still the same thing. They're feeding their kids, and it's an interest. You can go to a conference. I can be brought into conferences, and I got lots of stories, and people like to hear the stories. And when it goes back out, those people basically just go to the next conference. It's sort of an interesting thing. They take a couple days. You know, they have a bar at night, and people get together and exchange UFO stories. But there's really nobody out there really marshaling the forces,
yeah,
and no real movement. So until there's a movement, nothing's going to happen. And Stephen Greer tried it, and Stephen Greer actually did get, 250,000 people, or whatever it was, when he had the big news conference with the disclosure witnesses. He had 250,000 people, and you figured, oh, this is going to get it off the ground, but it still wasn't an issue. It was kind of an interesting thing that he managed to get the highest rated internet broadcast, but still, people wanted to hear the interesting stories, and then they just went off and did their own thing and went back to feeding their kids and taking them to baseball practice and stuff like this. It's an issue that really hasn't, and when the time comes, it will come in the proper time. For example, I always say to people, you got to remember, not only is the government covering up the aliens, they're covering up the aliens at any time they want, could land in 20 different cities. They haven't landed for one reason. They don't want to land. They want the cover-up. They want this thing the same as the government. And that may be one of the reasons why the government is covering up, because the aliens are covering up, that it's right to cover this thing up.
Yeah, speak to that for a minute. What do you think the aliens now, like you said, they can disclose any time they want. What do you think is keeping them from disclosing from what you know from your research?
Lots of different things. Wilbur Smith said, as he said, when he shut this anti-gravity control experiment down, he said it's better that the government didn't figure out how this thing worked. They just better build bigger and better weapons. I mean, you take a look at the American experience. I mean, it's one war after another. I mean, it's like, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, that the military, I'm sure, is interested not in the aliens. It could care less where they're from. It's not their main interest. Their main interest is in what's this technology like? Can we end the war in Iraq faster? Can we capture bin Laden with this if we had this technology? Because you take a look at the technology, and it's pretty sophisticated technology. If you can abduct somebody, which does seem to be what they can do, and take that person through a wall, and the person doesn't even know they were abducted, you can go over to Saudi Arabia, to Russia, you can grab the leader of that country, bring them to the United States, and go into their mind, find out what they know, what they think, what they're planning, and put them back in bed and be back in Washington in time for breakfast.
Yeah.
This is sophisticated technology, and I'm telling you that's what it's all about with the military. Is this is the kind of stuff that you rule the world, and you can't release your 20% that you know, because the other side might just need the 20% you're going to release.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
There's no way you can release it. And the aliens are in a situation where we're a bunch of kids. We still can't get together. We're killing each other off. We're basically in a war society, and a society where whoever has the most toys when they die wins. And we're not ready for it. And they've said that. So they're doing the gradual disclosure thing too. And that's what I've always said. If you take a look at ufology and you take a look at what's going on, there is a pattern. There is, the UFOs are taking a pattern. First of all, you've got aliens just seen flying around, 1947, 48. Then suddenly in 52, suddenly they're talking to people. Then in 1962, they're abducting people. Then you get little aliens running around with little beams, or little rods with beams on them. Stories that I had back in the 1970s, where they're picking up, the people see them, and they're picking up grass, and they're picking up, and those kind of stories. Ted Phillips is the top guy who collects those ground trace cases.
Yeah.
Ground trace cases don't exist anymore. So why is that? Why have they stopped doing ground trace cases? You don't get these stories of little aliens running around picking up water samples and leaving burn marks, triangle burn marks in fields and stuff like this. And then you suddenly get crop circles. And then you suddenly get
cattle mutilations.
And you get these balls of light. If you take a look at the Mexico experience, this is completely different than anything we've ever experienced here. You get these things where you get 100, 200, 300, 500 these objects flying around. It's like the aliens are playing this little game, and they're just gradually letting people see. They're gradually acclimatizing people, and more as we go along, people are used to the ideas that aliens are here. They can't just drop in and say, guess what? And it's the idea that people will say, well, they're here to take over the world. They're not here to take over the world, because you can't take over the world. The Americans have found that out in Iraq and in every other country that they tried to invade. You can invade a country, you can have the best technology, you can take over the country, but every time you raise your head, someone's going to blow a bomb. They're going to, the aliens can't take over, because every time they raise their head, someone's going to take a shot at them. Someone's going to try to blow them up. They can't take over. They're not here to take over. They're here to watch what we're doing, and you see this in terms of of the experiences that you have over military bases, that you see them shutting down military bases, you see them rendle some force, the story about them disarming the weapons deep underground that the Americans said that they didn't have and they had no nuclear weapons, and that they disarm these weapons or destroy these things. Stories that might not just south of me and in the United States, pilot telling the story that they had to ram this UFO was sitting above the missile silo, and they were given orders to ram this thing. That they're very interested in our technology. They're trying to stop us from destroying ourselves. And they have no intention of releasing the story right now of who they are. It's a gradual disclosure, and I think in whether by accident or by plan, the U.S. government is taking the same sort of thing. Is they're gradually releasing this thing to the public, and they're still trying to, in one way, take on the aliens or whatever they're trying to do, or get the technological advantage over other countries that might be working on the program. And the aliens are, in one way, giving the idea that they're here, and at the same time realizing that the time is not right for them to actually be here, because you have this universal law of non-intervention that you can't come in here and do our homework, that we have to either, you know, learn to deal with problems ourselves. They can't come in here, because, and a lot of what people want for UFO disclosure is they basically want cheaper gas. Man, do you think we could do, you mean we could heat our houses for nothing? We could do this and that. And it's all a self-centered type of thing.
Yeah.
We're not really interested in the other aspects. We're interested in, we should have disclosure because this will be good for the economy. It'll be good for this, good for that.
Yeah.
And the aliens aren't interested. They know much more the deep underlying reason that they're here, that it's got nothing to do with us, because basically we're going to use it, the same people who control oil, the Exxons who made $10 billion in the last quarter, are going to make $100 billion with this. And you have stories that run around in the UFO community, like the Carlyle Group, run by one of the former national security advisors for Ronald Reagan, running the Carlyle Group, and the Carlyle Group's rumored to be running around buying up all the companies with UFO technology. So you have this kind of stuff that basically comes down to greed, comes down to money, and there's nobody there that controls the secret who is really interested in the good of humanity. They're basically trying to protect themselves and the money, and might have some interest, but a lot of it still comes down to greed and who's going to control this thing when it all comes down, and whether we can rule the world and prevent people that we don't trust or like, whether they're Arabs or Russians or whatever, from getting this kind of stuff, that we have to control it, and whoever has this can control it and can influence the world.